Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did she just have an imaginary friend when she was a child, or could it have been something more?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. You can call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Then if you'd rather have an ad-free version of the show, you'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and my sister Kathy with me today.
I am here. How's it going?
Good. So last time, we haven't recorded since you and I went to Chicago and we did a ghost tour.
We did.
And it was, I can't say that I ever felt spooked or anything like that necessarily. Like, you know, that creepy feeling. But it was really fun. It was outdoors at Lincoln Park. And we got the little light meters so we could kind of detect things. Mm-hmm. And yours went off all the time.
Well,
about halfway, really.
Yeah. You know, we kind of got about half, for the first half of the tour, it did absolutely nothing. And then around a monument to Ulysses S. Grant, it really started kind of going off. And then it kind of stayed that way all
for
the rest of the walk. Yeah.
Now, mine never did go off. And so our friend Dylan, who was with us, he's like, here, take mine. And then once, it was interesting because once Tony, our tour guide, he said that they always light up when he starts talking about the gangsters. And mm-hmm. I was holding Dylan's at that time, and that one started going crazy then, and it kept going the whole way. Mm-hmm. But the one that I originally had never did go off, so I don't know.
Just had a bum meter. That's what I think.
I think so too.
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't.
But it was really good, and Tony did a great job on that tour. And if you get a chance, I highly recommend it, and especially if you can get a chance to take one with Tony because he's very insightful, and he's just a wealth of historical knowledge about. Our tour was with the Lincoln Park and the fact that Lincoln Park had been a cemetery at one time, then it turned into a park, but a lot of the bodies were still left under the park. And so still today, things can, you know, bones can still come up and stuff in the area, and because it had been a cemetery. So it was very fascinating. And then, of course, it weaved into the gangster, Chicago gangster, and the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
It was quite good.
Tony, I would say his last name, but I might get it wrong. Zabelski, I think. I hope I said that right. But he did an episode of the Grave Talks, and that one is called, I think it's something like the hauntings, Chicago hauntings or something like that, pretty plain and simple. But so he did that episode and he was just this, he's just this wealth of knowledge. And yeah, so that was really, it was really fun. And it was kind of one of those nights that a little ghost tour was fun because it was cool. You and I had been used to really, really hot weather. And then
That's what I was expecting when we went.
Yeah. So we get to Chicago, and it was not hot. I think by the time we took the tour, it might have been in the low 60s.
It was chilly.
It was chilly. And the sky was really gray, and the clouds were really cool, and it just was kind of that perfect night for it.
And they do several different tours. This one happened to be the Lincoln Park tour, but there were several different ones. The one I'm interested that I would like to do with him is that Devil in the White City tour. I think he said he did one of those.
He does. Yes.
And I think that could be really interesting.
I'm trying to make sure that I've got the right name. Chicago Hauntings Tour. Maybe that's it. Chicago Haunting. Yeah. Chicago Hauntings Tours. That's the name
of it. So
good. American Ghost Walks. But so good. And it was just so fun. It was a really good time. So if you go to Chicago, check that out.
Yeah. Definitely worth it.
I think it's fun too because the history is always so fun. That's what would make that Devil in the White City one so interesting.
Well, and he loves Chicago. I mean, he loves Chicago. Grew up in Chicago. It's just always been his home. He knows everybody there. Everybody probably knows him. You know, I mean, it's just, He knows every building. When you would say, well, what about this building downtown? He would start off telling us something about it, you know?
Yeah, we investigated that building.
Yeah, and he was, yeah, he's done tons of, but he had a lot of good information about he talked about the Joliet prison, you know, that they'd been down there, like lots of different places he's gone across the U.S. and done ghost huntings. And very fascinating individual. I really liked him. And like, he just knows his history.
Well, let's get to our first story. It says, okay. My name is Brittany. I am from Virginia. I have some degree of sensitivity, and I am the daughter of a history buff and an antique collector. So I have had quite a few experiences, some more in depth and others small snippets of my life. I thought it was time for me to share and see what you think. Talk about an interesting combination of parents, a history buff and an antique collector. It just seems like there would be hauntings in your life.
It does. I think at some point. Yeah.
So it says, a little background on me. My dad was in the military, so we moved about a dozen times in the first 18 years of my life. My mother collects antiques, as I said, and both of my parents have an interest in history, resulting in many family vacations to old houses, forts, battlefields, and cemeteries, while mom is picking up antiques and bringing them home. Some of my earliest memories are playing with my imaginary friend. I was always a child who could entertain myself, and I do somewhat attribute that to having friends my parents could not see keeping me company. Anyway, the imaginary friend was a girl my age. I told everyone who would listen about, in quotes, my sister, to the point that adults, like teachers and friends' parents, thought I actually had a sister. I would constantly talk about her and the things we would do together. Everything was my sister and I, and it went on for several years. I played with her all the time. One day, I went to school, and I told my teacher that my sister had died and I wouldn't be seeing her anymore. She called my mother, sobbing with condolences about losing my sister. My mother, having only one daughter and one son who is 5 years older than me, was confused at first and informed my teacher that there was no sister and she certainly had not died. I can't remember any interactions with my teacher after that, but I know I never saw the little girl again. I try to remember what I called her, but for the life of me, I cannot. I don't know who she was or if it was paranormal, but I do know that I have a vivid picture of her in my mind, and at that age, I had never experienced a death or even losing a pet. Almost 20 years later, my mother told me that I was originally a twin, and my twin died before birth. I don't know if those things are connected, but it gave me chills when I found out. Doesn't it seem like those two things could be connected?
Oh, you know, I think absolutely. No question about it.
Because like twins are so connected anyway. And I just think that connection would never go away.
Oh, I definitely think. And I've heard stories of twins, you know, having lost a twin at birth or, you know, early on. And then this exact same scenario. It's interesting. I wonder if it had crossed the mother's mind.
I don't know.
When the teacher called and said her sister died, that must have sent a jolt through her mom.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. It's interesting that 20 years later is when she found out about the twin.
Yeah.
And maybe they were just like, oh, imaginary friend, and didn't really give it any thought. But I think that's really interesting. I definitely think it could be the sister.
Oh, without a doubt, I'm convinced it is. I'm sure it is.
So fast forward about 4 or 5 years, and I was homesick from school. Whenever I was sick, I would gather my blankets and tissues and food and camp out in my parents' room on their huge bed and watch Looney Tunes all day. I had done this many times, and this day was no different. The room was situated so the door was in the middle of the wall to the left of the bed, but it was a fairly small room, so it was maybe 4 feet from where I was on the bed. Clear line of sight and all of that. So I was watching my cartoons when I heard the floor creak down the hall. I figured it was my mom, so I turned down the volume on the TV so I could talk to her when she came in, but nothing else happened. So I chalked it up to hearing things and went back to cartoons. As I was about to turn the volume back up, the door swung open, stayed open for maybe 10 seconds, and slammed shut. There was no one there in the hall. I know it was not the heat or AC or anything because my parents never liked using it. So unless it was extreme weather, they just made us bundle up more. Also, the unit was older and it would make loud noises as it came on. I knew the door was latched shut, not swinging or anything. I had never seen anything like that before or after in that house. Although I would spend many more days in that room, I still can't explain that. You know, it's one thing for it to swing open, but it swung shut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really what I was just going to say. I can see, you know, a wind gust blowing a door open somehow, you know, like that. But it can't, but it won't blow it open and then shut it.
Especially if it's slammed shut, because if it's slammed shut, it is shut.
Yeah, no, that seems impossible.
Okay, so that feels
paranormal. I'm with her on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with
feels
her on that.
Feels paranormal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often throughout my early years, and even today, we have things go missing, only for them to reappear days or weeks later, somewhere we hadn't even been. At this point, if something goes missing, I will say, okay, you've had your fun. I really need this back now. And sometimes it will reappear quickly after laying on the counter of bed where we had looked many times. I suppose some of that could just be absent-mindedness, but sometimes it's so far from where the item would normally be, it's hard to attribute it to being a space cadet. I haven't heard space cadet in a long time. That made me laugh.
I'm bringing it back.
Space cadet. I just think that that happens all the time. It happens to me all the time. It happens to you all the time. It's like, and we've had so many stories about that where you had it and then it's not there. It's not there. You look for it sometimes for days. Then all of a sudden it's like on the dining room table.
Right.
Well, how did it get there?
Yeah, we were just talking about that, like with a pair of glasses. You looked and looked and looked for weeks, not even a couple of days, like for 3 weeks or something. You kept telling me about these glasses and then they were just
by my foot,
by your foot on the floor.
Here at the desk. I'm just sitting here working one day
where you are all the time, every
all
day,
every day. And all I had long. Even like I'd gotten a flashlight on my phone, and I looked under, there's a low shelf on the desk. I'd even shine the flashlight under there. I'm like, okay, it's a black case. Maybe I'm just not seeing it. So I don't know.
Yeah. And there are things I attribute to me being a space cadet.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of those.
And in my house, as with those glasses, I blamed it on cats.
Yeah, so cats.
Obviously, it was the cats. Although,
that's right.
The cat, you know, glasses in a case are pretty big. You notice if your cat's carrying that around.
Well, I can't imagine cats would care about glasses.
I don't know, but I do have Izzy, who's very
in a case,
is very an interesting little cat. So I don't put much past him.
Izzy would be pretty cute in a pair of glasses.
Oh my God, that'd be adorable. You need to Photoshop that for me. Your skills are way better than mine. I have no Photoshop skills. It says one more short story and I will wrap this up. My mother had a large cabinet, 10 or 12 feet high, with shelves in the top part and a cupboard in the bottom section. It had been used in the Underground Railroad. It had holes in the back for air and enough room for one or two people to hide in during raids and things of that nature.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't that be creepy?
Definitely, it would have a presence.
I wonder if this large cabinet was always in the house and if it was in the house when the door slammed shut. I don't know. Maybe they could be connected. Because she says, I always got a strange vibe from it. And to this day, every time I see it, I get a weird feeling. Once I was in the next room and I heard a loud crash. I ran out to the hall to see the doors to the bottom part lying flat on the floor, having been ripped right off the hinges. When I was about 8 or so, we got a puppy and she would constantly stare at that piece or in the corner around it, just stare and sometimes growl at nothing. It's still sitting in the foyer of my parents' house, but I haven't had anything happen lately aside from odd twinges of feelings. So those are a few of my stories. I had a good childhood for the most part and learned to live alongside some things that were unexplainable. Later, my life took a very dark turn and I think that opened me up to a different level of entity. I also have some stories from Savannah along with some odd pictures. If you would like to hear those stories, I'd be happy to send them in. Thank you again for what you do. All my best, Brittany.
Brittany, I would love to hear those stories.
Golly, no kidding.
That, yeah, absolutely.
That piece, though, that the antique,
mm-hmm.
that kind of creeps me out.
Well, you are creeped out by old pieces of furniture and objects, for sure. But, you know, I would like to know, and when Brittany back writes back with some of the other stories, maybe she can fill us in a little bit on this, about her parents. Like, does her mom collects antiques. Does her mom get any vibes off of any of this stuff? I mean, they have this piece in their foyer, right?
Right.
And does it ever do anything that her mom or dad has noticed? Or is she the only one that notices? Right. I mean, maybe they don't, you know, have any, you know, particular sensitivity to spirits. So maybe they don't get anything off of it. But, you know, since her mom is such an antiques person, I would be surprised that her mom isn't super in tuned.
And they're into history, obviously, pieces. The whole family. Yeah. You know, yeah. It just seems like they would be people who would have encountered something somewhere at some point. Mm-hmm. And that piece, that cabinet, is big. She said 10 or 12 feet high.
Yeah.
Like, that's
really
big. Would
have to
really
be tall enough to hide people in, right?
Right. She said one or two could hide in the bottom. But you just think about all of the emotions, that the terror, the fear, mm-hmm. the all of those things. Because if you're hiding from people who want to capture you and take you back to a horrific place, I can't imagine.
Well, and you would just think that all of that, you know, that energy would, you know, go be somewhere. Right.
Exactly. Where does it go?
So where does it go? Does it stay in that object?
That's kind of what I think. And I'm telling you, it's like, if there's ever a antique that just by explanation of what it was, that you would just assume is haunted, it would be something like that. You just mm-hmm. hear the explanation of what that piece was used for. And then, well, of course, it's a haunted cupboard. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could it not be? Well, here we have got another story.
Hi, guys. My name's Anna. I'm from Wisconsin. So my story that I'm calling in today is actually my grandma's story. So I think my grandma's either, like, super sensitive, or I don't know another word for it. But basically, she sees, I guess, apparitions of her old dog every single night up until she got her new dog. She kind of took it as, I guess, her old dog telling her, like, it's okay to get a new dog, was kind of how she interpreted the whole situation. But the story that I'm actually calling in for was about my grandpa, her husband. So my grandpa passed away a few years ago from Alzheimer's, and my grandma's sister moved in to her house with her, and apparently every single night my grandma wakes up and an apparition of my grandpa is sitting on her bedside. So she'll wake up and he's just sitting there, or sometimes he's standing in her room, and I'm not really quite sure, I guess, the meaning behind it. I asked my grandma if it was like a full body apparition, and she didn't even know what apparition meant. So it's kind of hard to get information out of her, but she has had, she says, her guardian angels have helped her. She fell down a flight of stairs, and which, you know, should have killed her. But when she was at the bottom of the stairs, she had, you know, someone, I don't think she could see him, but she felt hands underneath her armpits help her up. And then when my grandma died, my grandma that I've been talking about, she had a really, really bad feeling that day. And she didn't know what it was. She drove back to the house multiple times, checked all the doors, checked all the windows, like nothing was wrong, but she knew that something was wrong. Something was happening just yet. And it unfortunately was my grandma dying, my other grandma. But I just thought that was a really cool story. She's lucky enough where someone close to her passes away, or, you know, an animal. She does get visited from them, and I'm pretty jealous of her because mine are not under my control as much. So I would consider myself sensitive to energy, like extremely sensitive to energy, but I can't really talk to spirits. I kind of second guess myself a little too much with it, and my anxiety is just too high. It's kind of like a constant static where I can't tune into it, but it's getting better. But yeah, I thought that was a cute little story. So I hope you guys enjoy your day.
Well, obviously her grandmother has abilities.
I should say so. I have a lot of different feelings listening to all those different stories. And I was listening to the first one about the dog.
I know.
And I thought of you, you know, because you've kind of been waiting for a sign. You're kind of in that same way her grandmother mm-hmm. was. Like, you know, that other dog just stayed with her until she got another dog. And then it left and she felt like, you know, there was that sign that it was okay, you know. And the dog moved on. And so that was kind of, you know, a touching story. And then I felt kind of, I have mixed feelings about her husband coming every single night. And I guess that's good. And, you know, I mean, it's like, it's good in some ways, but also, you know, you feel like maybe he needs to move on, but he can't for fear of, you know, leaving her.
Maybe you don't really know what to do when you die because you're so connected to that person who's still mm-hmm. here. Maybe you don't really know how to move on.
And, you know, maybe he feels like he still needs to protect her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not exactly sure. Does he even know that he's dead?
Right.
Is he just walking around? So it breaks my heart a little bit to think that he's just kind of in this loop and not able to move on and find peace that way. And maybe he just can't until he's with her.
But I don't know if that's still going on or if it just lasted for a time.
Yeah.
But I do think that I would find that a little bothersome night after night to see that.
Yeah.
Like, honey, you have got to go.
No, you know, the interesting thing I would say is that when I lost somebody, I always say there's a certain window that they're still with me. And it's like about 3 days. And I can feel them. I see them out of my peripheral vision. If I look over, there's nothing there. But I see movement. I see people walk past, you know, peripherally. And I know it's them. And then after about 3 days, that dissipates. And so I think, you know, somehow that hasn't happened in this situation. Mm-hmm. And as far as getting the feeling, and I think with our Anna, as she was talking about these different things, I think it will come if she just listens.
I sure think it could.
And
yes.
She said, I have a lot of static and it's hard for me to overcome that and a lot of outside noise. But I think, you know, maybe just relax, work a little bit on slowing yourself down and some meditation. And I think you will be surprised, because I've always said most of the things that happen to me is when I'm just in that kind of going through routine things, like I've cleared my mind. And then all of a sudden something will come or something will happen. And I think it's just, I always tease and say, you know, you've got to be folding laundry or the most mundane thing possible.
And I do think that most people don't see apparitions. You know, that is a special mm-hmm. skill set that most people don't have. You know, her grandmother just might have that special skill set that maybe she'll have, maybe she won't. But I definitely think, mm-hmm. I think more will come to her.
I do too. I get that feeling.
I do. Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I do. Yeah.
But I like the story about her grandmother. That's pretty awesome.
Pretty good. Yeah, definitely.
So share your real ghost story with us. Call in at 855-853-4802. Write in at Real Ghost Stories Online. Then you can get commercial-free versions of the show. You'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.